And we're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I am Aaron. I am here with my fellow Andrew K.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Andrew? And of course, we've got Dirt in the booth holding everything up in the background. This is your podcast for He-Man and She-Ra, Thundercats, and everything in between. So, of course, yes. We're missing Mr. Ozone. He is MIA. It's always like we get together to find out a new story of where Brian may be this week. We don't know, but maybe he'll show.
Okay. What are we talking about first? Should we talk about William George?
Yeah, let's. That's probably the biggest news out of everything. So definitely talk about William George. Go ahead.
So William George passed away a few days ago. He is most well known for being the painter of the awesome He-Man scenes on the packaging. We could look at a lot of the vehicles. We could look at a lot of the posters that we have in our collections. We can look at the box art. We can look at just a lot of things and go like the Motu magazines. I know we love to talk about those. A lot of the posters inside there were done by William George. He took over in a lot of places where Rudy O'Barrow left off with the packaging, and he was amazing. He was 90 years old, though. He'd been doing it for a lifetime, and he passed away earlier this week.
Yeah, so definitely a tip of the hat to William George for being a huge part of my childhood, definitely.
Most definitely. Yeah, it's hard when we lose a legend, like this, but, he did so much for the lines. He made Motu fun because the paintings, that he did just were very well known. We've all seen them and we've all grown to love them.
That's what I was trying to pull up some of his artwork. I know the one that I just saw that it's got He-Man with the battle armor and he's on Battle Cat and he's sort of, you know, coming through the air. So that's beautiful piece of artwork by him.
Yes. Yes. He did a lot. I'm pulling up my own stuff here, but I already remember some of it too.
He did the Land Shark one, man. That's got
the Land Shark is great.
Yeah, it's good, and he's got sort of the little creatures that he added in at the bottom, you know, below the Land Shark. So that's
definitely a little dragon looking thing. He also did most of the Motu posters. So if you have any of the Motu posters where it's got like He-Man on Battle Cat versus Skeletor on Panthor and all the evil warriors and all the heroic warriors on either side, you actually see all the characters. Like this is a big William George poster. I know I've got a couple of them framed in my office and they're just amazing.
Is that one of the ones where you have like Prince Adam and you have He-Man on the same poster? Because I know
that's
kind of cool on some of those.
Oh yes. The Eternia box art is actually his as well. Remember he did a lot of the box art back in the day. And so he did the Eternia ones.
Yeah. I see the one that you're talking about now.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to pull it up here.
And I've got one with He-Man on, Bionitops.
Yes,
and
the Powers of Grayskull one too.
Yeah,
pretty sure he did that one. He did a lot of our most famous box art ones. I can't say how much like his art has been influential because in a lot of ways, a lot of the stuff we've seen and have his art on it.
I mean that is Motu. That's what we were given as implants in our mind when we were young. That. These were the battles that were going on. So, you know, I always base a lot of my battles off of that artwork. And
yeah,
let's see. Yeah. He's got the killer one with Battle Armor He-Man on the Dragon Walkers. So on the back of the, driving the Dragon Walkers. So that's pretty sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. Just a lot of beautiful stuff, man. Sad to see a legend go.
Yeah.
But a lot of those folks I think that worked on this stuff are a little older or a little further up in age. Am I out of the ballpark on that? I think so. I'm crazy, man.
He also did the cover. I'm sure you've all seen it. The Battle Cat, where his arms are up in the air and it's got Battle Armor He-Man on the back.
Yeah.
He's well known for that one. And that's actually the cover of the Maddie made art book that they made for He-Man back in like I think we've talked about it on the air before, but they did a Mattel He-Man art book a couple of years ago, maybe like 2010, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy. It's very limited to find, very hard to find. But, you know, that cover was his. So was, I think, the Battle Bones. We could go on. We could be talking about this all that.
Oh, absolutely, man. That's just a quick Google search brings up tons and tons of stuff. So yeah. There's He-Man, the Road Ripper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really think he, Rudy Obero and Earl Norum were the greatest. The three of them basically made all our dreams come true. And I think the only person who's still alive is Rudy. Rudy's still, I've seen him. I've actually met him at San Diego Comic-Con a couple times.
Sweet.
So Rudy's really nice. But yeah, it's sad that we lost one, but I'm sure he's in a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, let's see, what do you want to flow into next? What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the Eternity Wars. I think you're probably okay with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something I think we've been kicking around talking about for a while anyway, or at least, you know, I kicked it around. Hey, I love Eternity War and I love talking about it. So you don't hear a lot about it, but for those who are listening or those who are watching, you can see they've got the trade paperback for Eternity War. And I think Mr. K has the exact same thing. So yes, this is this one is one through, what is it?
One through five, I think.
Okay.
One through six, actually.
Okay. And then it captures the rest and the other. That, what's it go through, 14 or 15?
17. 7 through 15.
Okay, yeah. So 1 through 6 in this one, and I picked this one up at a local comic store here. Got it for $12.
Nice.
You know, good deal on that, because that's, of course, got six comics in there.
Criminal Records in Atlanta, they had them for $5 apiece. So I ended up picking up the first volume and a couple other He-Man DC comic volumes. They didn't have volume 2 yet, so.
That is a heck of a deal. I would definitely jump all over that. did you do the run before this, where the build up to it?
Yes, I did, actually.
I did also. So what with this, of course, you've got the same thing that I've got. What's your first take on this? Just pick it up off the shelf and this is what you got.
Well, there's a lot of previous knowledge that you're going to need. I can almost tell you that there's like everything from the volumes, like the one-shots of the origin of Hordak, the origin of He-Man and Skeletor. There's a little bit of knowledge you have to have going into this, just from their own universe, because otherwise it's really just messed up. You start to see things that go on and you're like, holy crap, did they just do that? Or what is going on?
Yeah. And I think for somebody that's coming into it that doesn't have the back knowledge of it, it gives just that reaction. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? And it kind of really blows your mind in spots.
I really regret them that they put volume number 1 on the side when it should have been like, well, I think number 4 and number 5, or number 5 and number 6.
Yeah.
Because they really messed that up. Like, for a fan that's just like, oh man, let's pick this up. I know that the issues were renumbered through 1 through 15. I remember when they did that, it kind of irritated me, because it's like, I guess they're trying to have a new number 1 on the shelves for people to pick up. But I don't know how the numbers were. I don't work for DC, so I don't know. But it was irritating to pick this up and go, man, they just messed that up hardcore.
Definitely some things in there that make you, you know, oh, okay. You know, it goes in some odd directions. I think we can dig into it and talk about some of the things in it without, I don't want to give it away, obviously. Yeah. You know, I don't want to get into too much of it, but I guess we could talk about storyline wise, you know, what's going on, where are we, what is the Eternity War, how did we get here?
Well, I think the Eternity War kind of is a sum up of the end of the wars that have been going on in Eternia for like as long as the Grayskull line has been existing. It's a war that started with Hordak and King Grayskull, and it is down to He-Man, She-Ra, our current sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and the Snake Men, too. Hell, the Snake Men are on the side of He-Man, and the story starts with He-Man in Snake Mountain. Like, he's chilling next to the throne.
Yeah, so just that, I think, out of the gate is really tough to, I mean, there is a lot of moving pieces going on right there. And like you said, if you were introduced to the episode or the issues before it, you know what the buildup is and how they got there. But man, that series just was so, it drug out so long, and I really struggled with it. So I thought it was cool that we jump into that stuff like right off the bat, but man, there's a lot going on. So you had what I thought was cool was a throwback to 2000X, the MYP.
Yeah.
So MYP established a canon that King Grayskull, you know, was defending against Hordak, and that's, you know, he met his demise obviously in a battle with Hordak through on MYP. Here it's a little bit different, so there's a little different spin on that, but it was definitely a nod back to that 2000X, what was going on there.
Correct.
Something that I think this comic does pretty well, I mean, it's definitely, like you said, it gets off on an odd foot, and you're really kind of on an odd foot the whole time trying to figure out why He-Man's sword looks different. And, you know, that drives me crazy, the way that things were just kind of changed around a little bit, which I do think it's cool that they go back through here and they give a nod back to some of the older stuff. Cause
they definitely do. They give a nod to New Adventures at least once.
Yeah.
They introduce a lot of characters that we've seen. Shadow Weaver gets a big play.
Hordak, I thought it was cool that Mindor got a play. So, well, they needed it.
I think some of those were just throw-ins because because of Nihilik.
Yeah, because he's marketing toys, man.
Yeah,
I wrote this little story in here, so now we'll throw it in here, and he got a nod. Yeah, there were a couple things. I mean, like I said, don't want to give away the story because we want people to be able to go and read it if you want to. But obviously between the two volumes that we have, there are 15 comics there. So
yes, there are.
There is a lot of material to dig through with this. So I think it's something that they actually got right in a lot of ways. And first off, I would say Pop Man's artwork is,
it's pretty fun. I liked it. I liked his artwork. Pop Man's artwork, Pop Man, however you pronounce it, his artwork is great. I really like it.
Well,
it makes it interesting, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it definitely has a different feel than the Thundercats crossover.
Yes, it did.
So, you felt, you know, you liked the artwork, you thought it was pretty decent. That I agree with completely, man, but I thought the way the colors were done and stuff like that, just the choices of the colors and stuff, I thought it was a really well done story. It was very different than the crossover.
What did you think about the origin of Hordak's Havoc staff?
Oh, yeah. that's odd. And I don't know how that works, really. I mean, if it doesn't, I don't think it does really, but it was an interesting spin on the story, and you don't want to throw any spoilers out there either, but I think there's a lot of things that this comic does pretty well, at least from a storytelling point of view.
Yeah.
There was I had my picks at it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did too. Right before volume one, I think, isn't there the time of King Randor is hurt, and Prince Adam is trying to save him, right? He's trying to do the lifting, and that's how the whole Eternity War starts, I think, right?
It's
because of
that moment.
In that one moment of him trying to save his father. And that kind of messed me up, because that was like, I mean, we've all grown up with King Randor being around to watch over Prince Adam, whether it's Filmation, whether it's, 2000 X series. King Randor is alive, and this comic is trying to specify that King Randor died a long time ago, and the fact that he does live in this comic sets these events into motion.
Yeah, and I think it's odd too what they do with Randor in the comic. So
yeah,
you know, once that gets revealed, it's kind of like, I don't know, man. You know, but yeah, that moment I thought was crazy. There's also the moment where I don't know, you probably remember this, where it says Adam grabs the last single moment, you know, his last dying breath, or and stretches it into an eternity. And I thought that was really awesome, at least that as the master of eternity, you know, he has the ability to control that.
Yeah. There's so many other things we could talk about within that series. What about what happens with Keldor? Keldor is, without going in his backstory, Keldor becomes Skeletor, much like we already know. Keldor is betrayed by Randor. And, you know, that's always, even in the story, even in the 2000X series, that's always kind of struck me, because Randor is supposedly the older brother, right? Randor, yeah. Through most of our mythos, Randor is the older brother. He is a mixed race person. He is the eldest and the true heir to the Grayskull throne, and he gets picked over for King Randor.
Yeah.
And that cuts me. You know, a lot of times, as much as I love Skeletor is like my favorite villain of all time, it's because he's got this dual identity where he has been wronged first, and so he must wrong his nephew and the planet in the grand scheme of things. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not innocent in this. I mean, he's the one that has the acid splashed on his face. He's the one that kidnaps Adora. You know, there's plenty of things that he did wrong, but he's definitely misunderstood, and it's good like that. Like, I like that in the He-Man mythos.
Well, it creates, I mean, much, and a lot of people always want to, you know, throw it over to Star Wars and say, you know, well, it's
Darth Vader.
Yeah. But I don't get that out of it. And I think you can actually have that. And I think it works in this mythos, because it does add a little bit of humanity to Skeletor where, I mean, I think Keldor is a very complex character once he was created, and his mythos and backstory. So, you know, depending on what you like, and I think it's interesting to hear you say that you like that, because there are a lot of folks that say, you know, oh, I don't like Keldor, but personally, I'll show you, hang on just one second. Let me see if I can get over here. Yep. Got these in the mail today. So, you know, for the people that say, you don't like Keldor, I mean, come on, man. What about
this?
Oh,
you got the one from Eric. Is that the one from Eric?
I did. I jumped, man, as soon as I saw that, I just jumped all over it. And people was like PMing me, cussing me out. I was like, man, I'm sorry. Like, I had to have that. So, I mean, come on, dude.
If you ever decide to get rid of it, hit me up. I actually got his King He-Man custom that I got in the mail just actually today. And I got his, what did I get last week? I got something from him last week, because I just can't stop buying from him, it seems like.
I mean, he's got a lot of cool. Did you get that Flares of Tea?
I did. The one that looked like a
Stickman? Oh my gosh. What are you doing? Taking the stuff I'm trying to get, dude.
I got that one. I got one of the Hebros. That's what I got. I got Hebro from him.
I saw that you got that. So, yeah, man. I mean, Zertusha's got the toys, dude. I mean, come on. I really could not even fuss about that. When I saw that, I was like, I got to get that. So everybody hates me now. I'm sorry. But then I got Keldor also. So some people will say, hey, that's not part of the canon. You know, I like my Skeletor to be evil. And There's room for both, though, I think. Like, you could have either or. I mean,
You could. I mean, there's plenty of time that we can go back to Filmation and just use what the Filmation gave us and not touch the mini comics and not touch the other stuff. And you can say, oh, well, Skeletor is just an evil bad guy. But, like, he's He-Man's uncle. He's, you know, Adam's uncle. He's also half, Demo Man, the dynamic entity that is Demo Man.
Yep.
I actually like that too, because
I love Demo Man. I think he's an awesome figure. I think the concept behind it is awesome.
I have a couple of them already, and I was at a show this weekend and someone had an unopened one for $20, and I really like thought about like, do I need an extra Demo Man, but yeah. I don't need to spend the money right now.
No, but you do, man. You always need an extra.
Dude, I have so many of them already. Like, I just ordered another custom. That's one of the Monstar character. Brad Goodman was selling it recently. Mm-hmm. It's the one that Kevin, whatever his name is, in Germany did. And I got a couple of his pieces, and I was like, oh, man, that's cheap. I'll get that. That works for me.
I think I saw that.
It's Demo Man's great though. I have you seen the art prints that Mark Taylor did that were released at Comic-Con last year?
I did not. So is it like markup B side or whatever that he did of Demo Man? Or
I don't know if Demo Man's actually in there, but what it is it's the Mark Taylor print set that Power and Honor did with Super 7. It was released at Comic-Con last year.
Uh-huh.
It's got all the old Mark Taylor concept arts of all the characters. Stratos has his tan skin instead of his brown skin with his feathers. It's just really cool concepts, and I'm almost wondering like where was Demo Man or Demo Man or early Skeletor in that pack? Like it needed to be there, but it wasn't.
It wasn't in it?
It wasn't in there. No, we got Skeletor, but we didn't get Demo Man.
I mean, you need that because that was, I feel like that was like the first, you know, he got it down on paper and it was like, okay, we'll tweak it around.
That one, and like, I'd love to see another a copy of the Grizzlor Beastman one.
yeah, I've seen that too. That's pretty awesome. So it's cool that you brought up the fact that, about Keldor, you know, obviously being, or Skeletor being He-Man's uncle, because a lot of people do have an issue with that. Some people don't like it, but Eternity War, a lot of Eternity War is based on that. So that's a very important fact in this series.
Yes, it is.
So as for the folks, if you're going to read it, if you're going to read about it, it's portrayed very cool in a couple of spots, especially artwork wise. The fact that Skeletor, you know, you keep building almost in this series that Skeletor is making his way back to getting the power in a final showdown. So, I like the fact that Hordak was sprinkled into it. Your thoughts on the Orbital Disruptor? What is the Orbital Disruptor?
In the comic
Death Star now? Yeah. There was a scene or two where...
Is it the one where they're destroying planets?
He was using Grayskull for that.
Is it when he's got the voice of Hordak and it looks like a cross between like the movie Grayskull and Eternia and like... Are you talking about in the second volume?
No. This, I think, is...
Is this the one where Man-at-Arms goes...
Stuck out to me that they were like, fire the Orbital Disruptor, and it just really sounded like the Death Star to me.
It did. Okay, yeah, the one where Man-at-Arms goes to fight it, right? Is that the Man-at-Arms?
Okay.
I'm totally reading the wrong volume here. Yeah, that was messed up. That was kind of like... Okay, I wasn't thinking Death Star. I was just thinking like Deus Machine. Like now Hordak has a satellite in space.
Yep.
Like,
come on, man.
We've got like millions of Horde troopers. We've got little imp who gets the crap kicked out of him. We got plenty of awesome characters like Spidor and
I mean, it's that is one thing I think they did really well, and that's what I was going to ask you about earlier, your thoughts on that. And so I'm glad you got to it, because it's they threw all that stuff in there, and there's a lot of knots.
Voltak, who is it? Caspaspella. Oh no, I don't know about Caspaspella, but I see Scorpia and Catra, of course.
It blew my mind that they put in Dalamug. I mean, that...
Yeah, well, that was awesome. That was awesome. I've been waiting for a figure from him for 2 months.
That is a killer nod. And the fact that it looks like Sundar is in the background there also. So, Sundar. General Sundar. So, I thought...
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's really cool that, you know, they thought about doing that. And it's cool that we were talking about that on this page, because over to the right, I had written down earlier, I was taking some notes because I forget stuff. But Cobra Khan has his archers, and they spit.
Yes, they do.
Oh, come on, man. How intelligent was that?
Yeah, it was General Sunder. That's right. Yep, I see it in the background.
But yeah, I just thought that was really cool. Like, you know, we don't have archers. I mean, we do have Bo, but, I mean, come on, man. He's shooting them but his heart. So they did archers with Cobra Khan, and I just thought that was awesome.
Do you see the pink? It's the page where it says "Release Spidor," and there's a pink Snake Man in the foreground there, and it's not Tongue Lasher. He's like, if you look at the one where it's got Spidor.
Spidor on that. Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's a pink Snake Trooper. I don't know if you can show this on the screen. I love this pink. This pink.
Let's see if
Snake
I can get to
Trooper. It. I need to see some pink Snake Trooper customs because
there we go. Is that it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. There's some other shots of him in the other page, but he's just a really cool looking character. Like, you see all the colors of the rainbow when you look at the Snake Troopers, but like, I want to see more pink characters. Come on.
Yeah. Well, they did a cool job. I think that's what we were talking about earlier with the colors. Like this book, if you flick through it, man, it's got some fantastic colors with the artwork and the Snake Men, especially because when you see the Snake Men, we're not talking about like you've got Tongue Lasher and Squeeze and Rattlore and Snake Face, which all of those guys are in there.
Yes, they are.
But they are lieutenants or they're generals, right?
Yep.
So those guys are generals. We're not talking about you just got like 5 or 6 Snake Men. We're talking about there are legions upon legions upon legions of Snake Men. Yes, so they're being commanded and following King Adam's army. So very cool the way those are drawn and depicted, because you can see all the different little Snake Men down in there.
Can. The Squeeze, actually, who shows up in one of the panels, actually has his claws from the Staction.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually have the face on them and stuff.
Yeah, the little snakes and the claws above the snakes.
Yeah,
for his hand, it's really cool.
Yep, very cool depiction. Stratos, I was going to talk about that too. Most of our characters in this particular book got a redesign. So, just even their normal look, their armor. They are very much aware of the original artwork, because there are parts where they nod back to the original artwork. But when you very first start the book, we have a very different look at He-Man's armor. And,
the Horde Troopers too, the Horde Trooper heads.
Yeah. Yeah. So they actually are, they're not all robot in this series, which is crazy, because this series is a bit darker. There is some killing and some stabbing and some crazy blood going on in here. So the Horde Troopers are actually being created by Hordak using the bodies of the souls that have been stolen. So he steals their soul, and then he puts their body to work as a Horde Trooper.
Yeah. So
definitely different spin on it also.
Oh, and I forgot to mention this. We get the dinosaurs from Powers of Grayskull in this comic as well, in this volume, volume one. We get the Tyrantosaurus. We get the I forget their other names.
Ariana. Yeah, Binotops. Binotops,
yes.
But I had wrote it down on my sheet right here. Tie into Preternia with the Saurian Cavalry. So I thought it was cool that they said that, because what is that?
Yeah.
Saurian cavalry. Is that the flying? Because there's, it looks like some turbodactyls or something.
Yeah, turbodactyls, Binocalypse, and then the Tyrannosaurus. I mean, you got to understand the Powers of Grayskull comic that these first showed up in was the vintage comic that introduced the Snake Men, because the Snake Men weren't in the comics outside of when, King Hiss got woken up.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rise of the Snake Men.
Yeah, and didn't they also show that the Binocalypse, or I can't pronounce it right. I can't pronounce anything right on this show. Everyone already knows this.
It's all good. The
Binotop. Yeah, they were being infected inside the comic, yes. Weren't they?
Yeah, back so in, the day? In that part, in actually pre-Turnian, and I think they do say something about it in this comic. I think they do. But it talks about how the cybernetics – somehow it's a technovirus and it infects them, and then they start basically merging with machine. So very cool.
From the original toy line, I thought Hero originally was infected with a technovirus.
He was. So that's part of his story. So it gave him strength, and I think that's really cool, and cool that they did a nod to that, because I guess if you're going to have the Snake Men, you know, because they're from that time also, then bring that in, and you've got all the creatures from Preternia also.
What was your thought on the two eyes of the Castle Grayskull?
Okay, man, I get, you know, a lot of people are on the fence about that, but I personally, I really like it, because I like Chaos and Chrono. I wish they'd have called it Chronos, but they don't. But Chaos and Chrono, I think that's cool. Space and time.
Yep.
Grayskull transcends space and time. I like it. What do you think?
It works. I think it works. Again, talking about how this series is a secondary part to a predating series. If you get all the graphic novels, it collects all the little dollar mini comics they did a couple of years ago. So a couple of years ago, like before they'd even started the DC line of Masters Comics, they did these little one shots that were 99 cents. And each one of them I bought on one of my old tablets, and,
I don't think I've ever seen these.
Well, one of them. Okay, so
educate me, man. You're talking about something I know about.
In the second Motu DC volume, I think it's all the collection of all the one shots. Like they did the origin of Hordak, the origin of He-Man, the origin of Skeletor, and all these little short stories. The short stories were all, you know, like 10-page mini comics that they released online for 99 cents each, and each mini comic would just give you a little like split second in history. One of them is King Randor fighting leech zombies, which I thought was so cool. One of them is how Chronos became Trapjaw. And then there's a whole nother one where there's two of them, I think, that talk about the stones, the gems. And one of them is rescued by Man at Arms, because he uses technology versus magic. Like all these magicians are like, there's a great magician or mist. And he's like, I don't use magic, jerks. And then he like blows it up and then leaves. And it's great. It's exactly like what you need.
Like he does. I mean, like he does. Yeah. So these are these 99 cent one-offs. I've got to find these things.
They're collected in the volumes. If you have all the DC volumes that DC put out, they're collected in two volumes. If you want to talk for a second, I can go grab them from my other room. I've got them on the bookshelf. I'm pretty sure I've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, man. I'd like to see if you don't care to click it over and see what they look like.
You talk for a couple minutes. I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah. What I'll talk about. What's going on, Dirt? What's going on, buddy? We'll get you out from behind.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot now,
huh? No, so what's the word? What's being said out there? I have no idea. I didn't get the chat box pulled up. What's going on, Rudman?
Rudman is super pissed about the Keldor.
He's probably pissed. I was going to say, he's probably pissed about Skeletor. He's probably pissed about Eternity War in general. Because I don't know that Rudman is a huge fan of this story.
But he's definitely not happy about you getting that figure.
Man, there's a lot of people not happy about me getting that figure. I actually have gotten several messages about that. Rubman is not the only one. But I thought it was pretty cool, Zertouche, that I got it from. He messaged me, and he was like, man, I got some extra stuff. You know, he sent me pictures of some weapons, and he was like, pick something out, you know, if you want it. And I was like, no, man, you know, just surprise me, you know, throw some in there. I said, just surprise me. So when I opened the package, and I posted a picture of it on Legends, but when I opened the package, there was a packet of hot sauce, and it said, it was like in a plastic bag, and it said, you said, and it had a line drawn down, and on the Taco Bell packet, it said, surprise me. And then there was all kinds of crazy stuff in there, like fork and spoon. There was some syrup, you know, a anti-eternium magnet, a He-Man head that is a magnet, which is freaking awesome. He put some stuff in there for Graylin. So there was like, he put a Buzz trap jaw. So it was like trap jaw's head on Buzz Lightyear's body. It's crazy madness, man. So watch out if you get something from Zertouche. He'll get you.
I love that. That sounds like something I picked up at a comic book convention a couple of years ago. Some guy was making what he called battle bots or battle babies.
Oh, yeah. Brad Ratter does battle babies.
Yeah, taking Transformers and cut off Optimus Prime's head and put a little baby doll head on it. And put little baby doll hands on Optimus Prime's hands. And it's like just these creepy looking. I bought like three or four of them because they're just so creepy.
Oh, yeah. This trap jaw looks really odd sitting on Buzz Lightyear's head, you know, her body.
Oh, did you get that Buzz Lightyear trap jaw?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was pretty sweet. He's put that in there for Graylin. But yeah, no, I definitely made everybody mad with the Keldor. So, you know, guys, I'm sorry, but he's hanging out over here. If we get on a syrupy Saturday and things get wild enough, the prince may leave the home. You never know. So did you find it, Andrew?
Yes, I did. And actually, if you go to volume one of the original one, it looks like they're called digital chapters. They were, volume one of the DC Comics collects, you know, issues 1 through 6 of the original Master Universe series. Uh-huh. They recently did, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah. The one that precedes this one. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, there's actually two of them that precede this one.
Yeah. There's the 2012 and then
the 2012, captures the story of Skeletor has made everybody forget everything and he's in control of the universe.
Adam is a gentle wood chipper.
Yes. Who gets attacked and goes on the defensive and the offensive. And then volume two starts off with our introduction to Despera. And Despera is you know, She-Ra as a badass, basically.
Yep. And cool that, I mean, that also ties into this. I mean, that's another part of the canon that people talk about. What's your take on that? How do you feel about Despera as a character?
I like her. You know, I've never had the thought that you can't change up the past or you can't change up. I mean, that's what these Eternity Wars basically are. I'm not against them. So I'm not against Despera. I like her as a character. And she's a really cool figure.
Yeah, I think that is one thing they really knocked out of the park with that is that character. That really, the story of it is great because we actually have already seen, you know, in Secret of the Sword, is that where it depicts Adora and Adam being separated at birth? Is that right for the She-Ra family?
Yeah, that's basically how. Yeah.
So it was cool that. You know, they did give a nod to that and this also and tied back to it. But I think from a marketing standpoint, man, they really killed it with that character because she is, you know, the daughter of Hordak. She has been molded by the Horde and she has this crazy, you know, in the image of her father, you know, helmet so that her enemies will fear her. And she's ruthless and, you know, destroys everything and everybody. And she's a conqueror. If I'm She-Ra and I'm evil, you know, even if I don't know I'm She-Ra, if I'm She-Ra and I'm evil, I'm going to be Despair. I mean, that is what she would end up being. So I think that's a really cool character. And something I was going to ask you about as far as with this series, if you could pick out of this series, this the Eternity War series only, What figure would you like to see made out of this?
Oh, man. I'd thought of that very question before. And now that I've got them all in front of me, I do want to look back through them just to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. But there's a lot of cool costume changes for characters, as you talked about beforehand. And, you know, some of them are not my favorites. So I'm sure there's plenty of them that I wouldn't want them. I wouldn't want them to do a whole sub of, like, you know.
Yeah, characters I don't think they knocked it that far out of the park.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's also some characters that we have too many copies of already. Like, I might love Hordak, but damn, if we don't have too many copies of Hordak already.
We plenty of Hordaks.
You know, it's like just someone can customize one so I can have one, you know.
Well, you know, everybody said, oh, well, you know, because we're doing the vintage line, you got to have Hordak, okay.
Yeah.
You got to have Buzzsaw Hordak. Okay, you got to have Hurricane Hordak. But then – also, but we really want, like, the Filmation, the blue Hordak. But wait a minute. His arm's on the wrong – the gun's
yeah,
on the
wrong. They messed it up. They messed damn it up. Mattel did
another Hordak. we have plenty of – and now we have the new line Hordak coming, which is cool.
The new
I
mean, Hordak.
I'm totally cool with that whole line.
I ordered extras of him. I really, really, really like Hordak. And so I'm going to have my corrected Filmation Hordak easily.
There you go. Yeah, man. I mean, some great stuff come out of that. But I think, like you were saying, I wouldn't want to see them all. Definitely not a sub out of this. But there are a few things in there that I like. And so what would be your pick? Just off the top of your head, give me one.
I think Lady – what is it? Lady Slith? Lady the Snake Man Sorceress? What's her name?
Oh, Serpos.
Yeah, Lady Serpos. I think Lady Serpos has got to be in the very hot, like, my breasts are being hid behind the tiara, you know, like, very seductive look.
Because that's pretty hot. The way it's drawn. That is very – that's one of the things I really liked about this, not because boobies, because we love them, but because, you know, if you're this sorceress snake goddess, this is – probably the way you're going to look, man. I mean, it's not, you know. So I like the way it was drawn. I like the fact that her hair is kind of out of the back of it. That's a good pick.
Yeah. I just don't think we have enough female characters, and I think that's a really nice one. Because especially since she's the leader lady of the Snake Men, or at least, you know, she represents the Snake Men.
Yeah, she's their sorceress-wise.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cheat. Well, not right. I'm going to give two. So, okay. One, I'm not going to name. So, because we don't want to spoil this series and they don't want to, like, give away a lot of details about it, I will say this. In what Andrew just said, we need more female figures. So, there is a female figure in this series that I would love to see a figure made of this particular one.
Yeah.
But then my secondary, you know, for those who we don't want to spoil that. So my secondary, I would have to say, I would like to see the He-Man, just the sculpt of the He-Man that we start out with. I think it's interesting. I mean, pants He-Man, I guess, or, you know, battle pants He-Man or whatever it is. But I do kind of like the harness. I think it's awesome.
I think it's kind of cool.
What do you think about the He-Man at the end versus where we started at? Because very different.
I've got to go through all these books. I got so many books sitting around my desk, guys. Let's see. The He-Man after he comes back. I don't know. That there's that shot of him, you know, after his body, like, just, well, I don't want to get too much away.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you. I'm with you.
It was weird.
I agree.
I don't like it. I also don't like Skeletor that much at the end. By the end, I'm just like, seriously, get this comic over.
It's funny that you say that because I felt the same way. And especially like we get this whole, I guess is like, you know, the post log or whatever at the end. And I don't know, man, I didn't need it at all. Like, if you could have left that whole last episode or the whole last comic off for me,
yeah,
I'm fine without it. I don't even need it. Let's see. So, yeah, so you felt the same way. What about, let me ask you too, there is a section in here, my laptop is on 5% and I'm debating whether I need to plug in. I probably do. So there's a section in here where we talk about King He-Man, or it shows King He-Man.
Yes.
Without getting too far into that reveal, because that's kind of a very interesting part of Eternity War. What did you think about the way he's drawn there? It's a little bit different than the figure that we got.
Yes, it is. Let me go turn to that page, actually, so I can have more reference to that. You do that,
let me see if I can find the power cord.
No problem. Let's see here. I know everyone that's listening out there. Jeez, I had this turned to earlier and we skipped over it.
These are the compelling moments. The compelling moments.
Yes!
Let me flip to the right page.
There's some pretty interesting parts in this book, though. I won't lie that the book is really compelling up until, I think, a real point. At a certain point, I got kind of irritated as I was telling him. It didn't work. It stopped working, I guess, is the word. Here's the right book. Just saw it.
Yeah, so,
I know, we have dead air. I don't know what I'm...
How about them cubbies?
Okay, there we go.
Sorry. Okay, on King He-Man and his wife, I think it looks really, really good. I actually really like the face that they've put on him. I don't know if it really matches up to Adam or not. I mean, I know that was the complaint of the last King He-Man head that we got from, you know, Mattel.
Yeah.
I like it, though. Then there's the scene where there's a Panthor on the cover, and I thought that was really cool. Like, I was like,
Yeah, so to tease folks a little bit for reading the series, of course, this is not going to give anything away, but check that out. I mean, that's really cool, and especially when you get over there, you know.
Oh, I don't think we can see it. You might want to show. Oh, you want to show now? Okay, yeah.
So it's like... You know, whoa, what's going on here? There's Panthor. Of course, Tila, I don't know, man. She's rocking the red, so maybe it's just naughty, but she's all up on King He-Man. I like the black armor. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Really cool drawing. Really cool drawing.
Yeah.
I'd like to get that as a figure. I think that would be cool.
Quite a few people that would like the custom of Tila from that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So you said also, I agree with about Skeletor. So there's a whole section kind of explaining the different looks and why things look different, I guess. And
yeah.
I don't know. You can accept that or reject it also, because I kind of felt, I don't know, just the multiverse. I could do without it.
Yeah.
But all in all, man, so your takeaway from Eternity War, tell people to get it, don't get it.
I think it's a really interesting read. I'd recommend probably reading it, but man, the second volume of the Eternity Wars is definitely grating. Because it goes on and you're like, it reminded me of Lord of the Rings. It's where the movie doesn't quite end when it should.
Yeah.
It just keeps on going. And they're like, oh, everything's okay. But no. Ending number 3.
Yeah.
I was going back through that part that you were telling me to see King He-Man.
Yeah.
And there's a part where Beastman is wearing the hide of Battle Cat over him. And I'm suddenly thinking, I'd like to have this figure. I don't remember this, but it has been a while.
How cool would that be? I mean,
that would be pretty cool.
Beast Man with a cape, yet the cape is Cringer. Yeah.
It's like I just kind of want that accessory so I can put it in any figure at this point in time.
Yeah,
like
you can wear Battle Cat as
Yeah. Battle Cat has somehow deceased. I want to go on the second volume. I don't know if you have the second volume in front of
you.
Yeah,
I do.
But that fight that happens near the very end, between our two main characters, there's a scene where all these souls come out, and you actually see the character from New Adventures, the guy that looks most like Predator, he's literally sitting front and center, and I did not notice that until this time.
Oh, I did not care, because I was actually looking at that because I was going to talk to you about it, because
it was Webster.
It was another one of those tie-ins. Where is that at?
There's no pages on this.
There are no page numbers.
Okay. Yeah, it's right past the last one of the last covers where it's got Grayskull and all the weapons. It's literally right past they introduce us to He-Man and Skeletor's new armor.
Okay, yeah, here we go. So, yeah, we're under
the very first page of the souls on the right-hand
side.
Holy
crap, that is karate.
And I'm sure there's Eldor to the left, and everyone's favorite, mine included. Hey,
look, there's Scareglow.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I'm like, ooh.
You know what's odd? This is probably the third time that I've read Eternity War, and I have not even caught it, like any of those souls in that panel at all. I don't even know. I was just so caught up on looking at Skeletor's the way that he's drawn.
Okay. I just won the internet. I just found Lucky. Turn the page.
He's in there.
Turn the page,
and he has an odd look on his face, like he's lost. Yes.
He's dead. Lucky is dead. It's the ghost of Lucky, and he's hidden right above the ghost of Triclops.
Yeah, I love
next
it.
To the ghost of. Squeeze, I'm sure.
Now, cool. So who is that in the bottom left? It's like who Manny Faces is looking at. Who is that? Is that a person?
I thought that might have been the shoulder of Triclops.
Oh, yeah, that'd be okay. Yeah,
that could be it. I mean, the hair definitely looks like karate, but it could be anyone else, because that could be a gigantic eyeball and like Manny Faces is just like choking the life out of somebody.
No, dude, that is karate, because if you look at this, is kind of that is a cool detail if they did this on.
Oh, wow. I'm just noticing that. That's crazy.
Look at his eyebrow.
Yeah, that's his eye. That's one of his eyes, at least.
That is crazy. So somebody...
Some great details in this comic. I mean, this comic is worth owning. I really do kind of think it's worth owning, but get it the Amazon price, because like it's like $10.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. I didn't feel bad about 12. You know, I thought that was okay, but...
I think I paid $5 for the first one, and since it didn't have the second volume, I think I found it for like $7 or $10 on Amazon, and I felt the same way. I was like, I got to complete this so I can like read this again. Oh, dude! Fearless Photog is underneath He-Man's armpit on the opposite page. All you can see is the camera head.
Oh, that's what I was about to ask you who that was. I was like, is that Quake?
Fearless Photog. Nice.
That is nuts, man. Yeah, so all these crazy cool things. There's Stinkor.
I saw.
Who is it under He-Man's arm on the other panel? So look directly down...
He-Man's other arm, who's directly down...
It is the left arm that's out, and then directly under that.
You're just talking about like the kind of like that the crude little drawing of an eye and some armor? I don't think that's anybody. Like, if that's a detail, man, that detail's lost on me.
No. Look at his H on his chest.
Yeah.
Come straight down, and then a little bit to the right. And it looks like a beast there of some kind, like.
Well, I see Jiu-Jitsu, I see Fearless Photog, I see, an attorney in guard, I see Webster, I see,
the other panel, the one on the left side. Not on this He-Man panel, but on.
The opposite side?
Right.
Okay, you talk about underneath his armpit.
Right here.
Oh, that looks like probably like a Hordak. That probably is a Hordak. I was thinking that myself earlier. I just thought that was the soul of Hordak because.
I definitely see Hordak in that.
Yeah. And what's interesting is if you notice on the right hand panel, Rio Blast is still alive in the top right corner. Do you see the, yeah, the difference yeah, yeah. between the people who are alive and dead? Yeah. You know, Clam Champ is still alive.
Uh-huh.
You know, that the character in the very, very back on that image you were just showing me, the very back on the left-hand side, that's Kallax. Kallax is in the very back. He's the one that's dwarfing everybody else.
Oh, I see that now.
Yeah. And Decker is down there, too. I see Decker right behind Lookie a little bit.
Yep, and whatever that creature is behind him.
Probably a snake man of some kind. I had something else I was going to talk about. If you go to the first volume, though, of the Eternity Wars, but the original, and then the second one has the Origins. The Origins is a lot of the other digital comics. They were called the, what are they called? They're called the Master of the Universe Digital Chapters, and it's 2 through 7 of these. So volume 2 has all those dollar comics, but the first dollar comic was actually before the start of issue number 1. And in it, it's got the skull. Did you read those at all? I mean, did you read the volumes?
I don't think so. I don't because a couple of them you named off a minute ago, I definitely remember referencing, but I think I've got a USB drive that has everything on it, and I think maybe I've seen it, but I've not read it.
Okay, so it introduces Sir Lazerlot. I know Sir Lazerlot is kind of a character that doesn't get a lot of love because he was invented for the contest. He was invented, what is it? Is that the one that Jeff Jones created, I think?
I don't know who made Lazerlot, but I know
it was
that
Jeff Jones.
He was a part of a creation contest, I think.
Yeah, well, he wasn't Jeff a winner.
Jeff Johns, he's one of the creative guys at DC.
Correct.
he also writes all of their big crossover stories and stuff.
He does. So it was not a creative character thing. I was thinking he was somehow involved with that creative character thing, Lazerlot.
No, he was created by DC Comics for DC Comics.
Okay. Now, I have seen the one shot. I know there's a one shot with him on it where he's like leaned forward. Is that right? Where it's just got like Lazerlot's head on the cover of the comic?
Yeah. This is the one that has Lazerlot's head on the cover of the comic with his armor. And in the comic, it's got some kids escaping from what looks like beast men. And it comes up to like the skull. I'm trying to remember where it is. The skull. I'm turning the pages here. Sorry, guys. I'm doing multiple things at once. It's got the horde looking skull. I failed our king. I lost the sword, but I will find it, and the chosen one shall wield it and lead us to greatness. After all that, I'll hunt down those who murdered King Grayskull. So it's kind of like a teaser at the start of the whole series. I'll burn them slowly. Ooh, what is this? And someone's come through time to come get the skull. Hurry. Before Agent Spectre senses the disruption in time. I loved all of it up until it's like Agent Spectre. It's like, seriously, guys? Seriously?
Agent Spectre. Gotta get him in there.
But they have the skull of somebody. They have some kind of skull.
It's Hordak's skull. Or Horde Prime's skull.
Horde Prime's skull. That makes sense.
It has to do with Orko.
Changing in the second series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's definitely a horde, and they have those redesigns of all the characters, like the way that Evil Lyn looks, and she's not looking good.
I'm not a fan of that. Yeah, because we're going to talk about the different kind of Evil Lyns, and that's one that I'm not a very huge fan of at all. I definitely like the way that she's done in Eternity War.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But no, I'm not good on the other. She's a strange looking witch. I don't know.
It is what it is. but like the other versions of her was great, but, okay. Sorry.
Oh, we'll table that for another time. Cause we rolled on Eternity War for a while. So we'll come back on Evil Lyn. So what else you got? You got anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Man, I don't know. We did finish the pre-orders finished on Super 7 earlier today, much earlier today.
12 o'clock today. So actually, if you follow any of the old links to try to go the pre-orders, they are dead. They are gone. So I tried to pull it up earlier just to see if it was still there, and it is gone. So don't do that.
Yeah.
What else we got new and exciting coming up?
San Diego's coming up. I haven't heard any of the Masters exclusives, but I know Super 7 just unveiled their new trash cans, their new slime trash cans for series 2 of their muscles, which are going to be pretty cool. And then I don't know what else. Funko did those three packs of the Dorbs with Spikeore, Scareglow, and Trapjaw. And those
I was gonna shout out Rudman for that, because he actually Rudman got those and posted them earlier, and I thought it was funny because, you know, the man hates the Dorbs, but the moment that they come out, he has them. So he's got UPS just dropped this off, and then he's got hashtag still hate the Dorbs. So he got the Trapjaw. So for those that don't know, it's got the Trapjaw, then it's got Scareglow and Spikeore. So very cool, man.
Three good characters, though, to have in Dorbs. I otherwise hate the Dorbs, too.
At least they didn't do, like, a repaint. You know, at least it wasn't, like, you know, Snake Man in Arms or so. I mean, I like Snake Man in Arms. But at least, you know, we got something cool and new. So
no, we did.
Scareglow, and you got Spikeore that was different.
I think the three packs.
We didn't have Trapjaw in the Dorbs yet, did we? Or did we?
No, we didn't have Trapjaw. Trapjaw was actually only just recently made in
I don't think so.
Pop. Yeah, he just became a pop recently. It's all good.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Did we have Trapjaw in the Dorbs before?
We did not. I think you were cutting out there. We had him as a pop. Good.
Yeah, I threw it out there. Did we actually have it or no?
It was just a pop. We had a pop, and it came out really recently for Trapjaw.
Cool. Very cool. So yeah, that's a cool three pack that's out now. Where did you pick yours up at? Where'd you get through?
Oh, you just get them through the Funko shop online.
Okay. Yep. I'm definitely going to get a hold of some of those, I think.
Yeah.
Even though they're Dorbs. I'm still doing it.
It wasn't expensive. It was like $25 for the three of them plus some shipping. So meh.
The only other thing I had to talk about, John Myslowick has got some things going on for those of you guys that know him, don't know him. That's Johnny Miz, Johnny Mystery over at Most Powerful Waffles, part of the Waffle Mafia. He's got some exciting things coming up with his page. He's going to change some things up. So there's going to be like kind of a membership kind of thing. And you'll get some things. There'll be some giveaways, some Masters of the Universe giveaways. So very cool thing to check out if you want to be a part of that and want to check that out. And, of course, if you want to anytime check out Lucky Legends, come on and get up with the Waffle Mafia and get down with us and what we do on the week in, week out. What else you got, brother?
Man, I think I'm tapped. Unless some other ideas come up, I think I'm good.
Cool deal.
Where's what about Brian when we need him?
Yeah. To keep spitballing. He's going to show up in a second and be like, hey, guys, sorry. Yeah. Well, you got Dirt. Anything to send us out?
Well, everybody, let's just keep Brian in our thoughts and prayers. I'm going to start printing up milk cartons in the morning. And you know, he's had 2.5 weeks to get ready for this episode. So
we took the time off last week, and we thought
he'd be
ready. If
anybody lives in the New York area and wants to go knocking on some doors, let us know.
Yeah.
All right. With that said, that's all I've got for everybody listening. Appreciate you hanging out. Of course, check out popculturenetwork.com and come check out the Waffle Mafia sites and come hang out with us. And with that, we'll see y'all next time. Appreciate it.